ask again that we be prayerful for the service this morning, and that we pray for those who are not saved. You know, those of us that know the Lord, if something happens to us, I mean, if we become very ill or we experience, some other type of problem in life, you know, some type of devastating thing that happens to us, we have the best friend in the world, and he sticks closer than a brother, and he's always there to help us, and he has grace to give us that's sufficient for everything that we face. If we die, we go home to be with the Lord. That's, you know, for a child of God, that's all there is to it. When we die and leave the world, we go home to be with God. We need to pray for the lost. You know, they don't have either of those things, and they don't have that hope of something better when life is over. And so let's remember them today, and let's pray, as I said, for the service. I want to read some scripture from the 45th chapter of Genesis. If you have your Bibles and want to read with me, turn to Genesis 45, and I want to begin reading with verse 16. And the 45th chapter of Genesis is the chapter where we have the account of Joseph when he finally reveals himself to his brethren there in Egypt. And so I want to begin reading with the 16th verse of Genesis chapter 45. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast, and go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your fathers and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. That's reading from Genesis 45, verses 16 through 24, for a scripture reading. I want to use this for a title today, The Gift That Keeps On Giving. The Gift That Keeps On Giving. And I'm sure that you've heard that slogan used a lot of times. It has actually been used in several different ways. And I actually got curious and looked it up. And according to what I read, you know, if this is accurate, it could be or could not be, but according to what I read, that slogan originated in 1924, and it was used to promote the sale of the phonograph, talking machine, the gift that keeps on giving. That was where that slogan originated, and it has been used in many different ways since then. It's been used as a punchline in movies and different things like that. But I want to talk to you today about that because I believe there really is a gift that keeps on giving. And I don't think it's a phonograph. So I want you to think about that today. And when we read in what we read here that I have read in the 45th chapter of Genesis, this was a wonderful offer and opportunity that the Pharaoh made to the children of Israel, to Jacob and to his family, and especially given the fact that they were getting ready to, you know, to face famine. This became a very generous offering, a very, in fact, a life-sustaining opportunity for them because of the famine that was about to come up on the land, and they were going to need the sustenance that Egypt was able to provide in order to assure their survival. And they were in this, not only did he offer them the goods of the land of Egypt, but he paid for the trip. And he gave, you know, we read that he gave generously to them the wagons that they could transport things, and he gave to them the things that they were going to need, the corn and the bread and things that they were going to need even to sustain them on the journey. And you know, despite the fact that man is evil, that's something that people have done. You know, I mean, we're all the way back now into the book of Genesis. We're in the early part of the history of the world, and we find there this human generosity that existed at that time among them, and that's something that has existed among people throughout the ages of time, that people have been willing to give things to other people. And we know from what the scriptures tell us in the book of Acts, that giving is better than receiving. It's better, the Bible says, it's better to give than to receive. The Lord Jesus taught that. And so, we have many accounts in the Bible, and I want to share, some more of them here with you today. But we have many accounts of people in the Bible giving things to other people. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, when the Lord gave me this thought, I was thinking about, you know, in my lifetime, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give to other people? And the things that I possess, the things that I can give, are things that can only help somebody temporarily. And that's true of these things that we read about here in the 45th chapter of Genesis. These things, no doubt, they were very helpful, and it was very gracious what was done here. But the fact remains that these things were tangible and temporal. They were things that could not be enjoyed forever. And so there's only so much that we are able to give. And I believe that as the people of God, the best thing that we can give to people is to give them the gospel. You know, I mean, that's the greatest thing as God's people that we have to offer, because like I said, those tangible possessions that we have, they'll only benefit people for a while, and we should be willing to share. And like I said, people do share with each other. Sometimes people share good things with each other, and sometimes people share things that aren't good with one another. We read about Eve when she had taken of the fruit that God had told them, that they were not to take of. She shared that with her husband. She gave that to Adam, and he ate also. And that didn't turn out to be a good thing for either of them. But, you know, I thank God for, you know, people that will help other people. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we are, the Bible tells us that we are not to, it says, look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others also. We are our brother's keeper. And so we are to do things for each other, but, you know, the ability that we have to help each other is very, very limited. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, there where we have record of the time that the Queen of Sheba was so interested in the things that she had heard about the kingdom that Solomon had built, that, you know, she just had to go and she had to see those things. And when she got there, the Bible talks about how that she was just so amazed with what she had seen, how happy that his servants were and all the things that she saw that Solomon had accomplished by the work of his hands there in building up that kingdom the way that he had. And she, you know, gave testimony that she realized that the things that she had heard, that the half had not really been told to her. What she actually saw when she went there was so much more than what she had heard about and what she had actually witnessed. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, in the 9th verse, it tells us that she gave the king, that is Solomon, she gave him 120 talents of gold. She gave this to him. She gave of spices great abundance and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon. Now, I don't know how accurate this is, but it's my understanding from what I have read that what she gave to Solomon when she gave to him this 120 talents of gold, in our, you know, actually the dollar value that would be placed up on that would be somewhere around $3.5 million that she gave to this king. And, you know, I mean, certainly, now to me, that sounds like a lot of money. I mean, I can't, you know, it'd be hard for me to imagine somebody, and any of us, would be hard for us to imagine somebody just giving to us that type of money. To Solomon, it probably really didn't seem like a whole lot. I mean, he was a wealthy, wealthy man in his day. And so he may have said, oh, well, you know, okay. That may have not seemed like a great deal to him, but you know, nevertheless, certainly in that day, that was a whole lot of money. But she just gave this to him, and no telling how much. I mean, you know, those spices and ointments and things that we read about in the scriptures were also very expensive and very costly. And so she gave to him, you know, things that were of great monetary value. But there again, that's all that they were. They were things that were temporal. And, you know, people today, and people have been for years because we have examples of this in the scriptures, but people are so intrigued and so interested, it seems, in things that are just temporary. I mean, they put so much stock in things that are just going to pass away. And, There are a lot of people, I guarantee you, there are a lot of people in the world today that if you were to make an announcement that if you assemble, everybody that assembles together at a certain place at a certain time, we're going to give you X amount of money. We're going to give you $1 million or something if you will meet together at a certain place. Well, we wouldn't be able to find a building big enough to house all the people, no doubt, that would show up for that. But when it is announced that, you know, you come here and you assemble at a certain time, and we're going to have, the preacher's going to stand up And he's going to tell you how that you can have the greatest gift of all. There's not nearly as many people interested in that, is there? I mean, people are really taken in by monetary things and by temporal things, it seems, much more than they are spiritual matters. And so she gave Solomon a lot of wealth, honestly. Now, Jesus spoke about, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus spoke about how that we give gifts. And we do. We give gifts to each other. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus was talking about asking and knocking and seeking, where he said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." He said, "What man is there of you, if his son ask bread, that he will give him a stone? Or what man is there of you, that if his son were to ask a fish, that he would give him a serpent?" And so he said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give unto them that ask him?" And, you know, no matter what it is that anybody has to give, God is the greatest giver of all. God has the greatest gift. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that God has the greatest gift to give to you that you could ever possibly receive. And that's exactly what it is. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. The Bible tells us that again and again and again, that salvation is a gift. It's something that is given unto us. And you know, the true meaning of a gift is something that's given to somebody not because they earned it, not because they deserve it, not because they warrant that in any way, but it's given unto them because the person that gives it to them just simply loves them and wants to give it unto them. That's what we did, you know, as parents. That's what we have done with our children through the years. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Even with this sinful nature about us, even given the fact that we are evil creatures, even still we know how to give good gifts unto our children. You know, when parents give of their children, you know, Jesus here was even talking about food. When we give food or when we give clothing or whatever that it is to make provision for them, those things are gifts. And even with our sinful nature, we know how to do that. And so can you imagine how much more a God that's perfect, a God that dwells in heaven and is absolutely perfect, how much more that he knows how to give to his children and to give to them that ask him. "Do not err, my beloved brethren," James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You know what? There's so many people in the world today still that are trying to get rich monetarily. They're trying to become wealthy. Boy, I'll tell you what, they can just sell those lottery tickets big time, can't they? Drives me crazy trying to go in and pay for gas or something and you know, 15 people standing in line and you can't pay for your gas until they've bought all their lottery tickets. I mean, they sell the time out of those things, people trying to, you know, to win something, trying to hit the big jackpot and win a bunch of money. And listen, you know what? When they get it or if they get it, it's not going to make them happy. It's not, you know, you can't buy happiness with that type of thing. We read about the man there in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke how that he, the ground of this man brought forth plentifully, and he said within himself, when his barns became too small to hold it all, he said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and then I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Listen, when people get that type of wealth, does it satisfy them? No. You listen to what their testimonies are and listen to what they say. When they get it, all they want is more. They're not content with that. But you know what? God gave me something 40 years ago that completely satisfied my soul. And I'm still satisfied in the Lord today. And you know what? It was so good, and it is so good, that I'm willing to die with it. It's all that I need. I mean, what God gave me is all that I need to get me safely to heaven when this life has come to an end. And all of the things, whether they be little or whether they be many, all of the things that we possess along the way, all of the things that God allows us to lay our hands on along the way, will all pass away with us. You know what? Listen, lost friend, I hope today in your heart, I mean, in the very most inner being, I hope today that your heart will cry out and say, don't give me silver, don't give me gold, don't give me the wealth of this world, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me the gift that will last for eternity. Give me the gift that keeps on giving. Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give to them a gift that will keep on giving. I give them a gift that will last through all of eternity. That man that was concerned so much about his produce, his harvest, you know, when he tore down his barns to build bigger barns, and that was all that he had on his mind, all that he could think about. Jesus said unto him, thou fool. You know what I believe? I believe that Jesus Christ would say the same thing today to the person that's not concerned about anything but trying to strike it rich, trying to win the lottery, trying to hit the mother lode. I think Jesus would have the same thing to say to any of them today. You fool, you're searching and you're seeking for something that will not last. Come to me, and I'll give you a gift that'll be worth having. In the 6th chapter of Romans, in verse 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Folks, we're going to pay the penalty for sin. There's no way around it. We are going to pay the penalty for sin. Because of it, we're going to die. We're going to face natural death because of this thing called sin. Because as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. And we're going to pay that penalty. Amen? We're not going to get out of it, are we? We're going to pay it. It's appointed unto men once to die. But, boy, I like that. I like the rest of that verse. The wages of sin is death. If that was all that there was to it, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? It is the gift of God. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, listen. You know, today, you that are lost, today you can have the gift of eternal life. If you'll meet God's conditions of repentance and faith, He will give to you eternal life. Just like Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. You don't have to have anything. In fact, there's nothing that you do have. There's nothing that you could ever possess that you could trade to God for that. He will give it to you. All you've got to do is meet His conditions. You know, I want you to think with me today. I want you to think back. You that have been saved, there may be a lot of things that you've received in your life. I got this pretty pocket knife here. You know, I ran into a friend just a couple weeks ago, and he just handed me this. Brother Wayne Runner, he just had this in a box, and he said, here, I just want to give you this. And you know what? I thanked him so much for that. I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful, but you know what? It'll perish, won't it? You may have received a lot of things in your life, different times, birthdays, what have you, but I want you to think about the time that God bestowed the gift of eternal life upon you. Nothing like that. If you're here today and you're lost, you're never going to find anything in this world that will make you as happy and as content as knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Before we have a song, I want to quote what Paul said. We find it recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And this is the way I feel today. In my heart, Paul said, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus talked to that woman at the well, and He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would have asked of Him, and He would have given you living water. He would have given you water that once you take a drink of it, you'll never thirst again. But there'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Listen, as we get ready to sing, lost friend, if your parents, think about it, if your parents or your friends or whoever it may be, if they being evil, having this evil nature, yet they know how to give good gifts to you, how about God? How about God that's perfect, that dwells in heaven, that owns everything? How much more is He willing to give to you and to bless you if you'll come to Him and you'll ask and meet His conditions? Let's sing. Let's sing.